there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears.
Oh, now I'm safe from all harm, since I met the one
who came looking for me.
Sing that chorus again.
Rescue my soul, calm all my fears.
Oh, now I'm safe from all harm,
since I met the one who came looking for me. One night while on life's raging sea,
it
looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. With fright, all I could see was no hope inside. With faith all but gone,
yes,
I met the one who came looking for me. Jesus was near, rescue my soul, calm all my fears.
Now I'm saved from all harm,
since I met the one who came looking for me.
Aren't you glad about it tonight? Aren't you glad he came looking for you?
Well, look at somebody and tell them this. He knows my name. And he does. He knows your name. Brother Fred, he knows who you are. Aren't you glad about that? Brother Greg, aren't you glad he knows who you are? Praise the Lord. You know, it means a lot to be known by, I guess, different people in the world. Not that they really care about you, but they may know you. But I'm so glad that the one that cares about me knows who I am. And he loves me in spite of me. He loves me with all my faults, all my failures. He still loves me. Are you glad about it tonight? Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart.
Sing that second verse, buddy.
Oh, let's sing a little bit more of that. He came looking for you, and he didn't leave empty-handed. He had you in his arms when he left. Are you glad about it? Somebody say glory. We're going to have church here tonight, I promise you. We are going to have church here tonight.
Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. And I'm safe with no harm. He walked through the storm.
Glory.
He came looking for me. Was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears.
Now I'm saved from all harm
since I met the one who came looking for me. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near rescued my soul and calmed all my fear.
Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
He came looking for me.
Oh, give him a good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I love it just when it's good from the very get-go. Don't you? I just love it when y'all come to worship and praise. And well, we're just going to have some church here tonight. I promise you that. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a bit while we look at some prayer requests tonight. Sister Shirley Robbins sends us in. I know that God has touched my back, but I'm still having issues with it. Been in some pain today. Need a complete healing. Thank you all, Sister Shirley Robbins. Well, we just commit that to the Lord and believe God with her that he's going to do a complete work in our sister's life. Brother Terry Horn said he talked with Brother Bird and Sister Barbara Gravely today. They're both real sick. Brother Bird has had a high fever for several days. Sister Barbara has a bacterial infection, is on two different antibiotics. Please pray for both of those folks. They really appreciate our prayer, so we want to remember those folks tonight. Also continue to remember Brother David Seiler in South Africa, that the Lord will just give him a great time over there, and those people will just wear him out in preaching the gospel. Amen. Have a friend of mine that as a childhood buddy and grew up loving and being around this guy, Brother Gary Livingston. He's an apostolic minister in Rome, Georgia, but he's had suffering some many strokes, and I think this past week he had a very, very severe stroke. He's blind and cannot speak, and the family just reaching out and asking that all of us would remember him in prayer. Gary Livingston is his name, so if you would remember him in prayer tonight, that the Lord would just have his complete divine will in his life, and it would be his will to raise him up with healing. Amen. Brother Jose Manley says, I would like to request prayer for traveling mercies for Sister Elizabeth as she flies to Mexico on a business trip next week. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's pray that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Joel Moyer called to request prayer for his wife who needs a healing touch. Also ask prayer for concerning a court hearing in April regarding the custody of their children. So the Lord knows all about those needs. We just commit them unto the Lord. I want to remember Sister Connie St. George in prayer. She's been experiencing a lot of pain in her left knee, and it is very painful when she walks. So let's remember her as we pray tonight. This is from Sister Rachel. Brother Randy Scott says, I would like to thank everyone for their prayers and calls. By God's grace, Brother Randy is slowly starting to feel better, still waiting on some test results, but are claiming them to be fine. May God bless that Sister Rachel and Brother Randy Scott. So let's remember those folks as we pray. Brother Al Stevens from New York, please pray for a friend's husband whose name is Jack, who hurt himself at work years ago and is in a lot of pain and discouraged about living. Also, his sister, Kathy, who has cancer on her face, very severe, almost lost her eyesight. Let's pray for her tonight. Also, lastly, a man by the name of Bill, who has bone cancer, who is a Christian, but has young children to raise. May God bless. That's from Brother Al in New York. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Howard Collins offers this testimony tonight. I would like to thank God for healing. For my healing of severe headaches. He was prayed for a week and a half ago on Wednesday night. Brother Donnie laid hands on him. The saints of God began to pray. And the next 3 days, his headaches just kept getting worse. But he kept praising God, and his headaches left. And he hasn't had a headache since. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Want to continue to remember Brother Gene Lehman in prayer. He's having some complications from having several teeth pulled, also suffering with the flu. So let's remember him tonight as we pray.
Brother Baker sends this in. The doctor said that I'm to have a biopsy on my thyroid to determine if it is cancer or something else. Please pray with us as we believe that it will be okay. So let's remember Brother Baker's prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Sister Brenda Harmon, who has a pinched nerve in her back. Also, Donna Pistole is not feeling well. So let's remember those needs tonight. Brother Bobby Hayton says to please pray for a co-worker's wife, Linda Fleener, very ill, various problems, needs a healing touch. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Pray for William Johnson, who has a collapsed lung at Children's Hospital. So we want to remember that request tonight. Little William Johnson, that the Lord would just be mindful of that need tonight. Well, we just got a lot of requests tonight. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? You believe we're serving a prayer answering God? Brother Gene Terrell, good to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate you getting to be here with us in the service. Brother Gene had some surgery done, and well, he's right back at his post of duty. We appreciate Brother Gene Terrell, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand tonight, if you will. Brother David Swanson, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. We appreciate Brother David Swanson, don't we? Love you, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Precious Lord Jesus, we're again thankful, Lord, to come this evening. We're so grateful, Lord, that we had the desire to come. It's not because we have to, we want to. We love to come and worship you, and we love to come and worship in spirit and in truth, Lord. We're so grateful for that. Help us never to take it for granted. Lord, I just pray now that you'd each request that was read, so many different kinds, different ones, Lord. We just pray that you just meet each one, Lord. Everyone that wrote them, it was important to them. So I pray that it'd be important to us as a body of Christ that we'd bear one another's burdens, not just always worry about our own family, but help us to worry about all our brothers and sisters, not just our brothers and sisters, but people we meet every day. Help us to be just vessels that you can use. We're the salt of the earth, Lord, but you said if the salt loses its savor, what good is it? Help us to keep our savor, Lord. Help us to keep our testimony. Help us to be fervent. Keep our desires strong. Keep our lamps clear, Lord, and burning bright for you. Bless the service now, Lord. We commit the singing to you. We commit the preaching to you, Lord. May the Holy Spirit preach through the minister. May the Holy Spirit hear through us, Lord. And may we receive what you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you in the service. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a little song. We've sung it quite a bit. We wore it out, but I like to sing it still yet. I never shall forget the day. I can't tell you the exact hour or exact day, but I know what when it happened, I know about it. I got changed. How about you? Are you glad you got a nature change? Are you glad he came and done a work in your life? You couldn't do it yourself, but he did it for you. Somebody say glory. Give him one more hand clap of praise. I never shall forget the day.
My soul rolled away. It made
free.
Serve a risen Savior. We serve a God that's worthy of all the praise that we could ever give Him. He's worthy of all the worship we could ever give Him. I thank Him because He is God. I thank Him because He is God. Amen. God bless you tonight. You just sung so good and so well tonight. I don't know what to do with none of you. But I'm going to let you be seated for a little bit. We have a couple specials tonight. Sister Sarah, if you'll come on, we'll see if we've got time for another. If we don't, we'll work it in as soon as we can. But give Sister Sarah Johnson a nice hand tonight as she gets ready to sing.
to barren land. I was searching for rest, stumbling round in amnesia, bitterness and distress. But then I met the kinsman redeemer, who's called the Mighty One. He took this old Moabite from the fields and brought me to his house. He said, "Fear not, my child, for you're a part of me, and I'll not rest till you are at my side. I will do all that you have asked of me. You're a jewel in my eyes, virtuous woman. With eyes of faith I see all the mysteries being revealed, and now I see who I am, and I lay claim to all that's mine. I'm the Lamb's wife. I was bought with a price." He said, "Fear not, my child, for you're a part of me, and I'll not rest till you are at my side. I will do all that you've asked of me. You're a jewel in my eyes, virtuous woman. Grace your love has shown me, Lord, it brings me to my knees, that you could even think about me. When I'm in need, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, the great healer, with faith I'll stand on your word, because you're more than able. More than able," he said, "fear not, my child, for you're a part of me, and I'll not rest till you are at my side. I will do all that you have asked of me. You're a jewel.
song, Sister Sarah. We're going to wait on our other special till in the morning or whenever we can work it in. I know the person that was going to sing will understand. We'll work that in. I do promise you, let's stand tonight. I appreciate our bodyguard that's going to come and guard us tonight, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hey. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Ghost that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failure, wondering how long is this gonna last. At this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. No, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many can say you're redeemed tonight? Praise the Lord. If we ever get the revelation of that one little simple thing, our lives will be changed forever. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Let's pick up on this Shulamite. She's got these great, strong bodyguards that are around her. Men of valor. Men who are experienced in fighting. Men who are the chosen, the elite of Israel. The best that you could find to transport this little girl, young woman, from where she came from to the palace. But there's one thing they cannot do. They cannot fight her mind battles. They can instruct her. They can help her. They can teach her. But she basically must take the word, grace that's given to her and her position, and be able to fight everything that comes against her right here. How many is willing? How many is willing? Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Now this is the way Solomon sees her. This is certainly not the way she sees herself. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Now remember, this wood was cedar. This is the way this queen to be is going to be transported from where she came from to her future home. It wasn't built by some funky guys. It wasn't built by some guys back over here in a mill somewhere. It was built by King Solomon himself. Our way to heaven is not built by Muhammad. Praise the Lord. I know that's not politically correct to say it today, but I haven't worried about that all my life. I don't figure I will now. Our way isn't built by a denomination. The Lord God Himself made your way. How many believes it's secure and safe? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank You tonight, Father, for Your grace. We thank You for this great, great provision that has been given to us. We ask tonight, Lord, that You would take Your word and speak to our hearts. You know the needs of all those that are here present. Father, still so many that are sick and suffering. Lord, Brother J.D. texted me just a few moments ago, and William is taking him down just a few moments, Lord, to inject the tube into his lung to cause the lung to reinflate. We're asking You, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that You would be with our brother. Lord God, may there be no evil that will come of this, Father. We're just asking You, Lord, that he would be made well. Lord, for all of our needs that are here tonight, those that will stream the service, may the presence of God so anoint our faith that we can believe that which is impossible. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the saints said, God bless you. You may be seated. Listen carefully now. There's where your battle begins, right in your mind. Whether now, remember, it's not Christian Science, mind over matter. The mind accepts the life, which is the Word of God, and there brings life. Just your thought doesn't do it. But the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought. See, it's not the thought, as Christian Science make it, or mind over matter. That isn't it. But your mind accepts it and grasps it. What is your mind controlled by? Your spirit. And your spirit catches the Word of God. That's the thing that's got life in it, and it brings life. Notice now, it brings life through this channel that God has given us. And he says, oh brother, what takes place when life comes down into that channel, into you, the Word of God is manifested in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. And he believes that now. Now notice what God wants to do. Now remember, the Shulamite has come from this background that she's nobody. She's not royalty. She does not have any pedigree by which she'd even be worthy to marry such a man as Solomon. His words are beyond her understanding. He's been king now for several years. He was raised in the palace, being born the son of King David. So palace talk is very common to him. He's met many, many people from foreign lands, great people of honor and reputation. He's learned how to behave himself as a king. He's learned how to talk as a king. He's learned how to do all of these things, and no doubt it took him some time to be able to conform to this image that was required of him. But her, she's coming straight now from this upper part of Galilee near Lebanon, where the lions and the tigers have hibernated, of course, and been able to dwell there. She's come from this great image of being very, very dark because she was a shepherdess, and because her family had abused her and her brothers had made her do all of this work. She talks like a shepherd girl. She has the mentality of a shepherd girl. She does not know how to talk royal talk, think royal thoughts, behave as royalty, because thus far she's not. Yet she was ordained to be the wife of a king. It's the same with us. You know, even though we believe God has given us His grace, we are still learning to talk like a queen. We're still learning, I don't know about you, but I am, still learning how to think like a queen. And the greatest battle that has ever been fought is in our mind. Now, of course, the soul being sealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Satan no longer has access to your soul. The soul is not the battleground by where God and the enemy will meet. That belongs belongs to God alone. Oh my. That alone belongs to God. His seal of ownership is on your soul. But both God and Satan will meet in the battleground, which is in your mind. God will bombard your mind with thoughts and attributes and thinking that come from his being. Satan is also allowed to bombard your mind with failures, with frailties, with shortcomings of yourself and of others, with all the things that are around you. And in your mind can be thoughts that are so pure, so holy, so genuine, so godly. And right after those thoughts can come thoughts that are impure, thoughts that are not even you, thoughts that you don't even want to be there. Why? It is the battleground. And you better believe that Satan knows his rights, my brother, sister. And he will do everything that he is allowed to do, and some things that God don't want him to do, but you allow him to do. He will do everything he can to take advantage of you and I. Now, once again, he said there's only one avenue that can come down, and that's by the way of free moral agency. Come into the soul by your thoughts, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, if you say to this mountain, move, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you've said will come to pass, you can have what you've said. Now, not what God said, but what you've said. You get it? There you are. There's the battleground. We've let too many things hinder the faith that we've been taught. The Holy Spirit that's been living in us, we've let too many things. Now, looking at somebody else. Now, this is one of the worst things that you and I can do, is to make people that fail our mistakes. Let me just go ahead and say it this way. God wants you to put your ultimate confidence in no human being. Because all human beings have shortcomings. I'm talking about me and any other preacher, your mama, your daddy, whoever more. You put your ultimate and complete confidence in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that will never let you down. I will disappoint you. You will disappoint me. Come on, church. Human beings are failures to begin with. But the Lord Jesus cannot and will not ever be able to fail you or let you down. But if Satan can get our eyes and our mind and our spirit focusing on other people, and they're going to say, well, so-and-so tried it and they failed. So-and-so's nothing but a hypocrite. And that's true. There are many folks that are hypocrites. But if you stop coming to church because of the hypocrites in the hypocrites are closer to God than you are, because they're keeping you out of church. If you don't let them stop you from going to Walmart, you shouldn't let them stop you from coming to the house of God. Amen. Now, if you go to Wendy's, how many all kinds of hypocrites go through Wendy's? How many hypocrites go get a steak? Do you stop and say, hey, y'all had any hypocrites in this place today? If you have, I ain't coming in. You don't let that stop you. You go in, get what you want, pay for it, and you enjoy it. It ought to be the same way in the house of God. Brother Donnie, there's hypocrites that come to Happy Valley. Believe me, I know that. There's liars that come here. There's all kinds of folks that come here. But there's angels that also come. Jesus comes. There's saints of God. He'll also gather here. So it depends on what you're going to let your focus be on. I ain't going to focus on the hypocrites. I ain't going to focus on the liars and the devils. I'm not going to focus on the unbelievers around this word. I'm going to focus on me and God and those of you that want to go on. Amen. I notice looking at somebody else, and the devil's always trying to point you to somebody's failure. But he tries to keep you away from the real testimony that's genuine. He'll point you to a hypocrite sometime that went out impersonating something. Why? He knows that has an effect on us. Then we pull that in our mind and we think, well, can it really be true? So-and-so acted like they believed it. They said they trusted God for healing and deliverance. Can I really trust it? Looks like to me God let them down. God ain't never letting nobody down. That's right, he can't do it. Notice he says he went out impersonating. He didn't do it because he was impersonating. But if you come from the true source, oh my, notice this now. Of the word of God, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word cannot pass away. It's got to say. Now, but this is where that Satan now will try to keep you as the Shulamite. You realize, friend, if it was not for the grace of God, that this little Shulamite woman would have thought herself and talked herself out of being Solomon's wife. Listen to me. Do you understand? If it was not for the grace of God, you would have thought and talked yourself out of being bride. But aren't you glad His thoughts supersede ours? Oh, glory to God. I would have thought myself out of being your pastor many, many years ago. I would have taught myself out of preaching. I would have taught myself out of being many things that God wanted to show me. But I'm so glad His thoughts go over the top of my thoughts. Because sometimes my thoughts are down. Sometimes my thoughts are weary. I hope you come to have church tonight because I did. Sometimes my thoughts get low and sometimes my thoughts get displaced and sometimes my thoughts are nothing but human, but I'm glad when I get down so low I don't know what to do, that there's another thought down inside of my soul that supersedes all of my determination. It goes beyond my makeup. It goes beyond my thoughts, my powers, and limitations of a man, and it overrides what is it, the sovereignty of God. Amen. Jesus said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast them out. Notice again, he says it must be accepted in the mind, then it's believed with the heart, then the word of God becomes a reality. Now, no matter how predestinated we are, we still must receive the word into our mind. Then the word of God becomes a reality, then every sense of soul and body is scoured out with the Holy Spirit. Then your sense of God, your conscience of God, and everything that godly flows through you. There's no doubt anywhere. My, there's nothing can that nothing can come up in memory and say, well, I remember Miss Jones tried to trust God. Now remember, memory, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection, those five inlets which go inside of your spirit. Memory is one of the wonderful things. It can be absolutely tremendous and being able to implement and give us strength and victories. We remember things God's done. But memory can be used by the devil as well as it can by God. You also remember not only Miss Jones, but you remember Miss or Mr. You. And most of us, it ain't Miss Jones or Mr. Jones that gets us in so much trouble. It's Mr. or Miss Us. We remember our failures. We remember our shortcomings. And Satan will anoint our memory in the part of human realm of the human spirit. It'll come right down through memory. You've tried this before. You've asked God to do this before. You fell flat on your face before. And it stops right there in your memory. And you're afraid to trust Him. I'll tell you what we need tonight. We need a Holy Ghost explosion in this building. A Holy Ghost atomic bomb that'll clear out our memory. Yes, I've failed God. Yes, I've made mistakes, but that has nothing to do with where I am tonight. By God's word, I'm going to be changed. I refuse to fall back on memory. I refuse to remember Miss Jones. I refuse to remember Miss Me and Miss You. I remember who I am. I'm the bride. I'm the elect of God, and Satan is not going to stop me. I'm not going to fall back on my memory. I'm going to fall back on His, because He remembers me as an attribute. Amen. Oh my. Well, I remember Miss Jones tried to trust God. Miss so-and-so and Miss Doe tried to trust God for healing one time and she failed. But that channel has been cleared out and been purged and been filled inside by the Holy Spirit. It don't even come into memory. No matter what Miss Jones and what she did, it's you and God. It's you and God together and nobody else but you two. Lord have mercy. Nobody else but you two. There you are. There's your battle. Now friends, if it drops in our heart by the Spirit of God, even our failures will not discourage us. Satan will try to bring it through the channel of memory. Oh, remember you done this and you said that and you claimed victory and you done this and look at you. Now you made a fool out of yourself. You shouldn't even go back to church. You shouldn't even confess such a thing. If I was you, I'd get up and leave right now before anybody recognizes you're here. But if the Spirit of God can blow that out of your memory, then you say, that's right, devil, I made a mistake, but I'm here to get straightened out. I'm here to confess God is my healer. God is my deliverer. I refuse to fall back on my memory of my failures. Yeah. Now remember, this little Shulamite is the culmination of different races. She's the culmination of Africans, Indians, Americans, American Indians. She, in figurative type, is the culmination of many, many types of people that make up the bride. So in that category of people is a category the prophet called deep thinkers. Yes, my brother, you're a sick man. You have many troubles wrong with you. One of them is heart trouble. That's been bothering you for some time. You have a stomach trouble also, isn't that right? You've consulted a doctor about this too. They don't give you much hope. But you believe with all your heart. Look, I want you to look at me when I'm talking to you. Okay, sir, whatever you say. Your whole trouble, listen, your whole trouble has been your makeup. It's not the kind over his eyes now. It's his makeup. His whole trouble, heart trouble, stomach trouble, and all of it's his makeup. Praise God. We're going to have victory tonight, sure as well. When your nature gets changed by the grace of God and you're born again, you have one major fault that's not converted. You know what it is? Your makeup. Don't you see why we need to be changed? I don't need to just go back to looking like an 18-year-old Donnie Reagan. My makeup needs to be changed. My nature's been changed by a new birth, but I've still got a Reagan makeup. Come on now. And it's the same with you. Now watch this. He said, your whole trouble has been is your makeup. You're more of a kind of a deep thinker. You're nervous to begin with, an inward nervous. Now this is not the type of person that when they reach up to pick up a pencil and to get a handkerchief and all that, they're just standing a quiver. No, it's not this type of a person, but it's one who contains their nervousness within themselves. Now watch, an inward nervous, a type of nervousness that causes you trouble. Really, your heart trouble is a nervous heart. That's what it is. I believe you were told that. Now, for those of you who still want to fight this message and say the prophet of God wasn't wrong, would you please and come and do the same thing? My pulpit is open to you tonight. Since there's no takers, I'll go ahead and preach then. I believe you were told that, and your stomach is caused. Now, notice it's a peptic ulcer in your stomach that causes you trouble and stress. And sometimes when you're laying down, your heart hurts worse than your peptic ulcer did. Praise God. Now, usually in that case, it causes fluttering itself. Makes the heart flutter and jump. If doctors could ever have this kind of a scan, they got CT, they got MRI, they got X-ray. This is a Malachi 4 eye scan. Brother, sister, don't just look on the outside. It could go down the avenues and go into the blood. It could find acid in the blood. It could find fluttering in the heart. Lord have mercy. It could find jumping in the heart. And it wouldn't say, now what you need to do is take a natural pill. You got cardiovascular such and such and so and so. But the prophet would tie it from the heart back to the makeup. Lord have mercy. I wish God would help us to realize tonight much of the sickness and things that we go through, it's coming from our makeup. And our thinking. Another one. You're an awful deep thinker, aren't you, sister? You got a weary spirit, too. What a real combo. A deep thinker and a weary spirit. I love it when the Lord gets this right here. It's like the devil's standing right there in a corner and I've got him flipped around and he can't move. He's standing right there with his nose in the corner and he knows he's fixing to get a whooping. Glory. Now think of what this individual would be now. You're an awful deep thinker, aren't you, sister? You got a weary spirit, too. Always worrying about things you haven't got no business to be. You're nervous and upset. It caused you to have acid in your blood, which has given you arthritis. Comes from where? Worrying.
Yes, sir. Right.
About things that according to the prophets you shouldn't be worrying about anyway.
Amen.
Oh my, some of y'all worriers are, some of y'all are worrying right now, ain't you? Some of y'all worriers are worrying. You know? Oh Lord, help me. That's exactly right. Lord, help me. We need help, my brother, sister. Why? Because even though we're bright, even though we're enlightened and we love God, yet this is who we are humanly. This is what we struggle with day by day humanly. This part which is not converted. Oh my, notice he said, is that right? Go off the platform and be well in the name of Jesus Christ. Go and be healed. Oh, you said, boy, if that prophet was here. Well, that prophet ain't here, but the Lord Jesus is. Listen, let God call you out of this tonight. Let God call you out and let God heal you. He's still the same Lord Jesus. I ain't no prophet. I can't discern you, but the Word is a discerner. And the Word can call your name. The Word can know exactly what you have need of. Oh my. Notice this again, another one. Now, sir, you are a very deep thinker, aren't you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're always studying things. If I'd say this, that you might know, you cross bridges many times before you get to them. That's hereditary. You just, that's your makeup. This is true, isn't it? You're suffering tonight with stomach trouble. Is that right? Because you can't eat certain things. It's an ulcerated stomach. It's caused from a condition that come a long time ago. And you're nervous and your eyes are stigmatized. While we're scanning, let's go ahead and do an eye check. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah! Your eyes are stigmatized. Glory be to God. And you've been practically nervous for a long time. An inward nervous. Is that right? At your work. Sometime I notice you sitting down, your strength becomes so depleted. Now you imagine in the vision, God can take him here and there, so in the vision, he's right here at work with this guy. And he's watching this guy at work, and the guy sits down and he's showing expressions of tiredness and duress and lack of strength right in the vision. Glory to God. Is that true? I'm not reading your mind, my brother. I'm telling you it's the same spirit that was speaking by our Lord Jesus has revealed to you what was in your life.
Right.
Is that right? All right. Will you accept me as his prophet?
Amen.
Choke on it, devil. Choke. Will you accept me as his prophet? I have told you the truth. Is that right? By a supernatural being. Do you accept it that way? Then believe me. As God's prophet, go home and eat anything you want to. The ulcer is healed. You can go. God bless you, my brother. The Lord Jesus make you well. So being a deep thinker, deep contemplator, run in on what? His stomach.
That's right.
This other person being a deep thinker caused acid in the blood from arthritis. From what? Makeup. You know where a lot of your problems are coming from? You. You know where a lot of mine come from? Me and you. I had to throw that in. Oh, glory. What's that second miracle? Bring your patient. Now, everybody be reverend. Good evening, lady. A timid spirit. That's the kind, usually the kind, the little timid type. Don't have too much to say. Deep thinker. Always planning things ahead. Usually never happens that way, though. So he done all that planning, all that worrying, and all that thinking. It didn't come to pass after all. Boy, if that don't make you mad. Look at us. Look at what Satan has learned about human beings. Deal with the deep thinkers. Now, the shallow thinkers, we can deal with so many kinds of them. But look at this type of a person. They can't help this in the sense of the way they were born. But they think about it all the time, crossing bridges, all the time making plans. And none of them ever happening. And worrying and fretting and worrying and fretting and fretting. And it don't even come to pass the way you worry it will. All that worrying was in vain. All them days you could have been shouting. All them days you could have been happy. All them days you could have been rejoicing. You spent worrying and it didn't even come to pass the way you worried it would. Oh, my. Usually never happens that way. Oh, but you've had some good teaching. Praise God. Isn't that something, how that would stick out on the vision? You've had some good teaching. You've had many sorrows too, haven't you? Had a scar once in your life too. Something seemed like when you was a schoolgirl. Believe it was a dog. Or something long, as I see something bark. And go on and you jump and scream. You was just a little child. And down comes life. Coming down. Recently, you've been real nervous. Oh, yes. Here's something else. Oh, sister, I'm sorry. Yes, I believe you know it. It's cancer. What connection? What connection does this have to do with this woman? This is her spirit emitting the information in the problem world. Her spirit, the prophet, is now in contact with the woman's spirit. Her spirit is emitting scars and wounds. As you heard Brother Jewel talk about it here Wednesday night. Her spirit is emitting these wounds and these weaknesses and these things that are going on. The prophet is in direct contact with the woman's spirit. And the spirit is conveying the problems where much of the problem lays. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Notice this again. Another person, a man. Lord Jesus, have mercy on this man. May he come to Calvary tonight by faith. May God, through the mercies of Christ, heal him now as I bless him in Jesus Christ's name. Now, sir, I love this. You go. Go rejoicing. Go be happy. Sing songs all day long. You're that quiet type of person. Okay, so now we're dealing with a man that is a quiet type of person. But his medication for being quiet is to sing all day long. Woo! I love it. Now that we'll even think would be the very opposite for this type of a person. That's what they needed. Because they think and they think and they think and they're quiet and they're quiet. It's not that they're not thinking of things, they are. But they're deeply thinking and thinking and thinking. The prophet saw it's one of the worst things they can do. Sing songs. Sing songs. Don't sing them for the first 30 minutes, but sing them all day long. Sing them all day long. Why? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It beats Valium any day out of the week. It beats Lortabs. It beats medicated marijuana. Come on, saints. Now, can you imagine this person hearing this discernment thing? I'm so quiet, though. I mean, I would be so backward. What if somebody heard me? Sing. The cardinal don't sing because he knows A, G, and D, and A minor, and A flat. He sings because he's got a song. Praise God. Notice this. Go happy, sing songs all day long. You're the quiet type of person, which would hurt you a little later in life. You go on and just start singing hymns and rejoicing, testifying of your healing. Notice now, it isn't gone yet. This one, God's not going to make it leave by the word of the prophet. This one's going to leave by the singing of songs and the testimony of this child of God and their persistence in faith. Some of you come up here and get prayed for. Oh, Brother Donnie, oh, glory to God. If I can get to Brother Donnie and Brother Darrell, I know it'll leave me. Maybe and maybe not. God may want me to pray for you and to give you strength. But God may want that devil to leave you by your attitude toward the word. And your persistent singing of songs. Praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm delivered. It's going to leave me. Notice he doesn't say it's gone. But it will. It'll leave you. God bless you, sir. All right. Now, what if this man didn't obey him? More than likely didn't get healed. Then what would he do? He'd join sides with the unbelievers. Well, I went up and he prayed for me and I got worse. That ain't the prophet's fault. You didn't do what he told you to do. The word works, friends. Oh, man. Notice this.
Dear Jesus.
Another one. All right, come, lady. You're a very deep thinker. You're sincere in it with all your heart. But it's caused you to be a nervous person. Being a deep thinker and sincere in it. But it has caused you to be a nervous person. And you're very nervous. You're always taking other people's things and thinking about that. Crossing bridges before you get to building things that never happen. Amen. Lord God, speak to us tonight, Jesus. In that, it's developed a stomach trouble. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, she might have went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you're lactose intolerant. It's gluten-free. It's a riboflavin or crossed over with crossomyl picolate. And you eat too many dill pickles. That's your problem. Her problem was her thinking. And her thinking run in on her stomach. When the Lord hardwired me, he hardwired a direct line about that big around. From straight from there to here. So when I get nervous and tore up, my stomach tells the story. I ain't just preaching to you now, I'm preaching to me. But the Lord is my deliverer. Now some of you all, you get nervous. My, you're like a hedgehog. You can't keep your hands off food. And I get nervous, I don't want nothing to eat. I can't stand the sight of food. You say, I wish I had your problem. You just think you do. Why would you want to trade problems with me? Why not dump it back on the devil and get healed? Amen, Brother Rob. We don't need to switch symptoms tonight. We just need to get delivered. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. It's caused you to be a nervous person. You're very nervous. Always taking people's things, thinking about that, crossing bridges before you get to them, building things that never happen. In that, it's developed a stomach trouble for you. Is that right? All right. You believe me now as his prophet. Yes, sir. And if you'll go off here tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I accept your vicarious suffering for me. I accept your healing. Amen. Notice now, this is the individual again. I accept. He doesn't say, you're healed, every bit of it's gone. They've got something to do, and what is it? Except what God has already done. I accept your healing. Oh, glory to God. For me at Calvary, I'm going to eat what I want to and tell the devil I'm free. Will you believe that? Then go do it in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look at the power in the mind to be able to think. If we can think negatively and affect our body in such a way to produce such diseases and sicknesses that would astound doctors and they couldn't even make the synchronization of it to figure how to give us help and medication, what about our spirit? What about our attitude toward God? What about our attitude toward church? If we think, I probably ain't going to get nothing no how. I don't know if there's any need for me to even go. I don't think God loves me. I don't think Brother Donnie loves me. I don't think nobody loves me. I'll tell you one thing, it'll be a miracle if you get anything out of church with that attitude. Look now at the power of imagination. You just imagine somebody hates you once. And they don't hate you, but you imagine they do. Now watch this. Look at the power of imagination. I love imagination. It's a wonderful thing. What would we be without imagination? But imagination can be a devastating tool. Now watch the power of imagination. Just imagine somebody hates you once. Now you imagine it from the imagination in your spirit that somebody don't like you. They hate you once. You imagine this once. He says, and they don't hate you, but you imagine they do. And you just keep on thinking. Now notice it comes from the imagination, which this thought has now been burst. And now it comes from the imagination into the thought pattern, into your mind. Now remember the dendrites that we preached years ago, how that memories in our brain are formed like tree branches on top of a tree. And every time that you'll recall something that happened to you, there'll be something that'll ignite with those dendrites in your brain, whether it's good memories or bad memories. And if you've been abused, or you've never been accepted as a child or whatever more, then if somebody else treats you similar to what you was treated when you was a boy or a girl, then all those dendrites automatically light up and you and your mind begin to associate this person as a repeat when you was in the third grade, fourth grade, sixth grade, high school, whatever more, and you're there pulling because that's in your memory. Now your imagination links up with memory and the dendrites in your brain begin to release these endorphins, as it were, and you begin to think in your mind, and all of a sudden this is as real to you. It's as tangible as this handkerchief. But it's not real. It's not even true. It's a lie. But to you it's true. Because you allowed this to be birthed in your imagination. Can I go ahead? Or the look y'all got on your face, I'm not sure if I'm fixing to be stoned or et or what. Now watch this, he says, now they don't hate you, but you imagine that they do. And you just keep thinking. Now notice, comes out of the imagination where spirits come down to the canal, as it were, into the brain, into the mind. They don't like me. So now it's expelled from the imagination into the mind. They don't like me. They don't like me. Then you see them out church, and they didn't shake your hand. That proves it. Well, maybe they had somebody they really needed to see. Or maybe they want to come in and just sit down and read their Bible before church. But to you, in your imagination and in your mind, it only give more credence to this what you thought. I knew they never liked me. Now, look, friends, I'm going to preach with or without you all. It's better for you, you know, if you pull and say amen. Now watch, you imagine that they do, and you keep thinking they don't like me. The first thing you'll notice now what we will do. The first thing you'll be shunning that person. Here he comes. A big old lion yawn. Don't sit there and look at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. This is the Shunammite on the journey. This is us, friends. I know we don't like it. I know it ain't deep. I'm not preaching UFOs tonight and thunders and pulls and all that sort of thing. But I'm preaching right down where you live, and that's why you're so quiet. Woo! Now notice the first thing you know, you'll be shunning that person when they haven't done nothing. Nothing to you. And after a while, it becomes so a reality to you, you'll actually believe that person doesn't like you. Why? You give birth in your imagination. It links with your mind and then your face. Notice, imagination linked to thought and then belief. You begin to believe that person don't like you. Oh my. And you might bawl them out or say something to you, for instance, your wife or your husband or some neighbor or something like that, when the person is absolutely innocent of any ill thing. And it's because that you just imagine it so till it become a reality. Lord, have mercy, children, if a lie can do that. What can the truth do, Brother Jim? If a lie to the power of our imagination, linking with our mind and linking with our faith to believe that, if that can do that, which is nothing but a lie, totally misrepresenting a brother or sister, husband or wife, if it has that power that we begin to react according to that, what about the Word of God? The Word of God pulled down, blows out your imagination, blows out your memory, blows out ever since, comes into the mind, goes down into the soul. What will it do? A new creature in Christ Jesus. Now notice what this is doing. This began burst in the imagination. Connects with the mind. Then you believe faith. Then your body goes to reacting. Yes, sir. Then your feelings, your emotions, whatever more. You'll start ignoring that. Ain't your spirit alone doing that? How many's ever shunned somebody? Oh my Lord. You angels of God, God bless you. We're so happy to have you angels with us tonight. Y'all look like some of my people. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. I don't know, angels wore glasses. I'm sorry, forgive me. How many shun somebody? How many's got your feelings hurt? Poots out your lips, got mad, aggravated. Come on, keep them up. Don't put them down. It's just easier. Just keep them up. Why? Our makeup. And then we go to pulling in our imagination. And then we think and we mull and we think and we create. Lord Jesus, we create this thing out of a lie. I love this quote. Notice this. The person is absolutely innocent of any ill thing. Now that's one scenario. That the person is innocent. But let's expand this scenario a little bit. Now, what if the person has done something to you? What if the person has said something, or, you know, it's repeatedly over and over again, and it's evident to you that they seemingly just do not want to be around you? Your imagination is going to go hog wild. Well, I'll tell you, friends, I found a quote today that I think is very fitting right now. Brother Bam talking about getting close to God and getting things straightened out in our life. He said, when we do, it's a hog skin in time. He said, we're going to drag out the raking boards, he called it. Probably most of y'all don't know what that even is, but it's when they used to kill hogs and they'd dip them down the water. Brother Bob, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you older folks do. And they'd take them old boards and they'd scrape the hides off them things. Whoa, I feel like that's what we're at tonight. My, it's a hog killing time. Amen. Oh, but the inside of you ain't no hog. Oh no, the inside of you's a gentle dove of God. It's no outside body, brother. That's a different thing. Swino. Come on now. It ain't nothing but a problem. It ain't nothing but a difficulty all the days of our lives. It's because that you just imagine it so. Can you imagine hundreds and hundreds of years before men ever knew how to fly an airplane? People had it in their mind. Somehow people ought to be able to fly. Amen. And they'd watch birds and they'd draw diagrams and that. What was that? If God hadn't given man imagination. Cars? You wouldn't have no cars tonight. You'd still be two-footing it to church. That began somewhere. The brilliance of man's mind is wonderful. Eliminate imagination out of man's mind. It would be unbelievable what would still be without in this day. Why, God, give us that. It's a wonderful attribute until it becomes loose and we allow Satan to put things in there. Oh my, that's not even true. And we imagine things against our brothers, imagine things against our wife. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Some of you wives, if you've had an unfaithful father or you've had an unfaithful friend, whatever more, and your husband don't show up. He's 15 minutes late for work from work and you're scared to death. Your imagination runs wild. Oh no, he's run off with somebody else. Oh God, something's happened to him. Oh no, no, we've all been there. What is it, our imagination? We need to bring that thing under control and say, hey, stop. Stop right now. It's because that you just imagine it so till it become a reality. To look at the power that lays within you. To take a lie and imagine and think. You start building on that one concept which is false. Your thoughts then enshroud this. Begins to cushion the baby. Your thoughts now starts feeding. Your thoughts nurturing. Your thoughts giving life, giving blood, reproducing cells. And to you it's as real as it can be. Nothing but a lie. You give birth to that baby and you smack it and you even give it a name. And write it a birth certificate. It ain't nothing but a lie. Now the difficulty is for me to convince you tonight that ain't a baby. Because it's keeping you up at night. It's keeping you out of church at times. It's keeping you where you won't pray and read your Bible at times. And then I'm up here telling you that it ain't real. I'm telling you it ain't real. If you're sitting here tonight saying God don't love you, I'm telling you that's a lie. If you're sitting here tonight saying I don't love you, that's a lie. If you're saying the word don't work, that's a lie. You need to throw that baby out and get rid of it and say it's nothing but a lie in my imagination. It's not the truth. I refuse to give birth to a baby in my imagination. God sent a little old preacher into town one day to hold a revival. His name was Peter Cartwright. He rented a place downtown, went down there and started washing the windows, sweeping the floors, cleaning up the place. The bully of the town come up and said, hey, what are they doing down there? Some of the other guys said, oh, it's some preacher. Said he's going to hold a meeting. He said, he ain't holding no meeting in this town. I run this town. Had his gun on his side. Well, he said he's going to hold a meeting. He said, he ain't holding no meeting here. I'm going to go down there and stop him. So he goes down, walks into the building. Peter Cartwright washing windows. Just washing windows. Says, hey, he is. Yes, yes. So what are you doing? Said, I'm going to hold a meeting. He said, oh, excuse me. I've got to wash these windows. Good portion of witnesses. Hey, I've said to you, you ain't holding no meeting here. I run this town. And if you hold a meeting here, you got to whip me first. He said, what if that's what I got to do? Let's do it. Brother Branham said, Peter Cartwright, a little bitty old guy, went over and knocked that bully down. Got right on top of him and said, Lord, increase my courage, Lord, increase my courage, Lord. Beat the tar out of him. He said, you had enough? He said, yes. They let the man up. He come in that night. God saved. Give his heart to God. Whatever we got to do, beat up your imagination. Beat up your conscience. Beat up your memory and say, I'm going in this rapture. And not only that, I'm going to live a blessed life. I'm going to live a life in joy and victory before I go. Get out of my way, conscience. Here I come. Quite a reputation for a preacher, huh? So your conscience gets in your way, straddle it. My conscience, I'm beating your eyes. Have you had enough? All right, Mimi, what about reason and affection? I'm whooping the fire out of you. It's hog killing time. This is your idea, some of you, of whipping your conscience. You do it the way you raised your kids. I'm counting to 138,000. And if you ain't straightened up by then, so to your conscience you say, 1, 2. It's like somebody was, you know, some kind of lapse of memory or something. 3, I'm giving you to 135,000. It'll done accomplish what it wanted to accomplish. Quit the count. This is the way you want to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh, hallelujah. And if you don't give in and say, Uncle, I'm going to beat you till you can't walk, conscience. I guarantee you one thing. If we run that kind of discipline in our body, our conscience will be careful what it said. Your imagination wouldn't be near as quick to express its opinion. It remembered the last time. What happened? Hog killing day. I told him I thought God didn't love him. He liked to beat me to death. I told him Saturday night when the pastor said that, he was looking right straight at him. He saw me right in the mouth. And then I called on memory. And then, Lord, you think I look bad? You ought to see memory. Affections in the ER. Conscience is done passed out. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What kind of Christians would we be, children? But instead, we imagine and concoct and live off of lies and fables. If I preach to you people 1/10 of the lies you listen to in your mind, you'd got rid of me years ago. And you'll listen to your stinking self till you lie after lie. Do yourself what you do to me. Vote it out. Gonna go on or should we try to crawl out? Now watch this. While you were sitting there, I turned and said what I did. Do you believe me to be his prophet? Then go eat your supper. Your stomach trouble will go away from you. And it won't bother you no more. You believe that? Then go do as I tell you. Quit worrying. Lord have mercy. You're a deep thinker. You're always taking other people's troubles to yourself and crossing bridges before you get to it. You're always planning something that never happens. Quit thinking like that. Amen. Be happy. Yes, sir. And rejoice. Amen. I'm talking about being an overcomer. Amen. Look, friends, you thought cigarettes or something. Cigarettes ain't nothing compared to this. Amen. You thought drinking, running around, adultery. This is you and I. This is us, our human makeup. It's a peptic ulcer. Can't help it. Makes your food sour and everything else in your stomach and cramps you. It won't hurt you no more. Go on and eat. But don't just eat. Be happy while you're eating. Go on and eat and be happy and rejoice and serve Jesus Christ. Notice another one. You have a very strange nature. That is a deep thinker. Always crossing bridges before you get to it. Always a bad thing. Isn't that something? Always crossing bridges. And all of those bridges always contain gargoyles and demons and sicknesses. None of those bridges are ever good. It's never any gold at the end of the rainbow. It's a man fishing, knocking the head with a sledgehammer, and they got the gold, and you got the sledgehammer. Nothing never good. Oh, my. Lord Jesus. Notice. And it's developed. And by that, it's developed. By that, it's developed. A peptic condition. Notice how many of these people is related in deep thinking to their stomachs. Notice this person, one right here above it. Quit thinking like that. Be happy, rejoice. It's a peptic ulcer. Look at this one. It's developed a peptic condition at your stomach a year apart. Not in the same location. Give you stomach trouble. That's right, isn't it, sir? Is that right? Raise your hand. What is it right? Oh, my. Could it be nothing else? God Almighty knows it. You now throw aside every negative thoughts. Will you go home and eat your supper and praise God and give Him praise for it? Listen, here she is. She's in a world all her own. She's got these 60 bodyguards, but they're not fixing to marry Solomon. The chef, the bakery, the pastry guys, the water guys, all them around her. She's the only one battling these thoughts. Wonder how many times she thought, there's no way this is real. He don't love me. What's in this frame? There's no way he could love me. I'm too low. I'm too poor. I don't have anything to bring into this marriage. The bodyguards wouldn't think that. The chefs wouldn't think that. The people supplying the water wouldn't think that. But for her, the battle is raging. But God anointed your bodyguard this week, Happy Valley, with thoughts from heaven to bring to you so along this journey. Apparently some of you needed this. Notice this. And if you notice, it's when you're discouraged. That's when the devil can really pour it on you. That's when he gets you. If you come to the church and say, well, I don't know whether I'll get any better or not. I've been prayed for twice. Oh my. You might as well go home. That's all. When you can cast that aside. God don't want you to be frowning. Some of y'all, please let your face know that. Let your face know you believe that quote. There you go. Good girls. Good boys. Right. God don't want you to be frowning. God wants you to be
happy.
The human heart was made to be happy. Don't you understand, friend? Much of our sickness and our disease, it comes from within ourself. Why? Our heart was made to be happy. Our spirit was made to be happy. And we are bombarded every day of our life with things to make us sad. We're bombarded with trouble and heartache and sickness and trouble on every hand, everywhere we look. If it ain't you in your immediate family, some of your friends or somebody at your church, it's constantly something to make us sad and down. Why? Where he causes cancer. And Satan knows it. He knows we will get sick and stay sick if we stay sad long enough. So he turns our own makeup and the conditions of the world right around us and turn them right in on us. And we develop our own sicknesses, our own diseases, our own depression from within ourselves. Some of you all are scared to death if you find something on a label. Can cause cancer. Can, oh God have mercy. I ain't drinking that red Gatorade again. Can cause cancer in a rat. I ain't no rat.
Are you terrified of things that can cause cancer? And yet you're doing one of the worst things you can do every day of your life. Worrying. Then, of course, when we get it, we blame God. Now, here I'm a Christian. I'm a believer, and God let me get cancer. God told you not to worry. God told you worrying would cause it. And you went ahead and worried anyhow and got what he told you not to get, and then you blame him. Well, glory to God. Whew. I'm going to read that again. God don't want you to be frowning. God wants you to be happy. The human heart was made to be happy. Worry will. Not possibly, friends, or perhaps. Worry will cause. Now, are we sure we believe this? How many, by God's grace, wants God to help you with your worrying? We blast people because they smoke. Say, glory to God, you're going to hell. You're destroying God's tabernacle, going to cause cancer. And you worry wart. You build bridges that are 16 lanes wide, 385 miles long, triple deckers. Triple deckers. And nobody's ever been over them because most of the time it didn't come to pass the way you worried it would. All that laying awake at night, all that fretting, all that going on, and not one little tomcat's ever went across your great big triple decker bridge. Worry will cause cancer, temper. Will cause cancer. Don't never be upset. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Just walk in his love. Amen. Know that you're walking in him and nothing can harm you. There's nothing can harm you. There's neither powers, things present, things future, that can separate us from him. We're in him. We know. We never come in by our own will. He by choice elected us and brought into him. Amen. So it's his business to take care of what he's took himself. If I come to him, it's my responsibility, but I didn't come to him on my own. He brought me in. And if he brought me in, he's got to take care of me. Let me find a place to close. When the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. Lord have mercy. God will make your body come into your confession. If you say you're a drunkard and want to drink, don't worry, you'll soon be one. If you say you're a sinner and want to sin, you'll be right into it. If you say you're a Christian and believe it all along, your testimony will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, confess it and God will make your body obey your confession. For he's the high priest of your confession. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, now with his own blood to make intercession for any confession upon anything he died for. Take that in your imagination and birth it. Take that in your conscience and birth it. Oh, now that's more than I can comprehend. That's just to how in the world can I quit worrying? How in the world? Well, you'll believe a lie. You'll believe I don't love you, and every week I give my life for you. Every preacher that stands behind this pulpit gets a portion of his life for you, and the devil will tell you that they don't love you, don't care for you. If you'd want to believe a lie and give that much credence to a lie, why not give much more credence to the Word of God? Notice this, he's the high priest of our confession. You get what I mean? What you confess you are, that's what you are. Any man will never live any further or any higher than what he believes he's living. You take a man that's talking about drinking all the time. He talks about drinking, thinks about drinking. He drops right down into that category and becomes a drunkard. Why? It's what he talks. It's what he thinks. His actions will portray his very thoughts. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Now, healing is not something you just say, well, yeah, I believe it, I believe it. Now, that's all right. If that's the best you can do, just mentally, or just say, well, yes, I see it, I believe it, I accept it. Then if you accept it on those basis, you're talking about the grace of God. Accept it on those basis. Keep saying it over and over and say it out loud. Now remember, this comes back into the subconscious, the man in the engine room and the man up on the deck. Now you say it and keep it in your mind. Oh, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. No, say it out loud. I believe God's my healer. I believe God's my Savior. You're synchronizing both decks together. You need to hear yourself say positive things. Now, I know some of y'all think this is absolutely crazy. This is not crazy. It's part of the message, friends. Say it out loud. God is my healer. God is my redeemer. What do you think we sing? What are we doing? If it's a song of truth, I know my Redeemer lives. I never shall forget the day. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air. Everybody will be happy over there. Because he lives, what are you doing? You are hearing yourself say those words. And you're making melody in your heart. You are making love to Jesus inside of you. Say it over and over and say it out loud. Let me close with this. Say it over and over. Just keep saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. Say it until actually you believe it. Now, can you imagine the mercy of God whenever we will take things, Brother Jim, and we'll say it. He knows. He knows. We don't believe it a bit more than our speaker does. Intellectually, mental with mental faith, we do. But as far as really believing will happen to us, he knows we don't. So what's he do? He gives us the adopted baby route. You've heard of that? When a mother cannot have a baby, and the prophet said then if she embraces a child, many times it causes her body to be able to produce a child. And this is the way he said confession was. Take the adopted baby route. I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm saved. I'm set free. What is it? The adopted baby route. You may not feel no better. Oh my. You may not actually act no better. You may be just as crippled as you was before. But you're taking the adopted baby route. And you're saying it and saying it and saying it. And one day you'll say it and you'll say, glory to God, I believe that. What? You're ready to have your own now. What God do? God allows you to have that secondary way. Children, can't you see why? He wants you to be helped so much. Most of us, if you wouldn't take our word, we wouldn't want nothing to do with you. If you can't believe me, if you can't take my word, then just get away from me. Leave me alone. Not God. God said, if you can't take my word, I'll help you. I'll give you a crutch, and I'll give you a wheelchair, and I'll give you an ambulance, and I'll do everything I can to try to get you to a spot because I want you to believe. Stand. I'm healed. I'm healed. Say it until you actually believe it, and when you believe it, it's going to take place. Don't have a negative testimony. Every time you confess, well, I still feel bad today, you go right straight back into the same rut you was at the beginning. There's not a man or woman here that is baptized with the Holy Spirit that would start your confession. I believe I've lost the Holy Spirit. I believe it's gone. You'll go right down. Praise God.
What about it, Shulamite? Are we going to get married to the king or not? Are we good enough? Of course not. He give us grace. We found favor in his eyes. What about it? Those of you that are sick. Oh my, I know we've had so much sickness this year around this area and other places, not just here. So much sickness and stuff going on. Our God's still a healer. And in spite of all the sickness and stuff we go through, our God is a deliverer. Praise the Lord. How many has a need in your life tonight? Maybe it's your mind. Maybe you're a deep thinker. Maybe you need to be healed from, you know, some of these things I've read right here tonight. Now look, friends. There's no other promise for a prophet to come in this day and do these things. But these words, the words of God. Remember the Logos and the Rhema. God can take a Logos word and quicken that word to you. And it makes a Rhema word in your heart. And quickens that word to you. I believe he can still do it right here tonight. To give you what you have need of. Praise God. Can we offer a word of prayer for each other? Would you mind? And your hand on that person sitting by you. We're not only going to pray for the visible audience tonight, but I know many that are still sick and suffering the flu and this and that and the others going on. I believe our God's mindful. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I know these things have been simple. They're not deep and they're not profound, Lord, but they are true. Imagine some of these people, they got one chance to stand before the prophet of God and have the discernment, the gift of God worked upon their life. My, they might have been wanted to been told that they were deep and they were spiritual and that they understood many great deep things. But instead, maybe they were told they're chased by a dog or they'd been nervous or this or that. In reality, which meant the most to them? For them to have been flattered and said they were deep and understood great deep things, or to go to the source of their problem so they could be healed and delivered. Lord, that's the way we feel tonight, Father. Oh, we want to understand the deep things. We love them. Lord Jesus, we want to understand the mysteries of God and we thank you for them. But Lord God, we want to understand ourselves as well. We want to understand how to be healed and delivered and set free, Father. Lord God, may your presence, I pray, go among us tonight. Lord Jesus, may you touch each of us. Lord, being the pastor of most of these people, I know that there's a variegated congregation, some that are deep thinkers and deep warriors and building bridges, and some are a different makeup and category, but yet, Father, you know us all and you love us all and you called us to yourself. I pray you'd search our hearts tonight, Lord, and see what we need. Help us, Lord Jesus, that the word of God can come. Our needs are just as important as those people that walked across these platforms, Father, in Charlotte and Chicago and Zion, Illinois, and whatever more. Our needs are just as pressing tonight, Lord Jesus. And I believe they mean just as much to you as those people did. There's not a promise of a man to stand today and turn his back and do that to us, but we believe the word of God is still a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So may you, by your word, look at our spirit, look at our makeup. Look at those things that we've embedded within our lives, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, I pray, dear God, that we can be delivered from ourselves. Our conscience, our memory, our affection. The prophet said they're all right as long as they agree with the word. But if they're contrary to the word, then blow them out. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. We bless your name, Lord. May healing flow through this building tonight. Lord Jesus, not only just healing in the body, but maybe some need healing in their spirit, Lord. Maybe some have carried fear since a little boy or a little girl, or distrust or whatever more because of, Lord, different scars that was placed upon them as a child. May the Spirit of God sweep through this place tonight. You who could heal our body can also heal our spirit, Lord. We believe this gospel is not just for our soul, but it's for our soul, our spirit, and our body. Oh, Lamb of God, amen. We look to you tonight, Lord. We believe you're concerned about us, Lord Jesus. As we ride on this chariot built by our Solomon,
as we ride on this palanquin. It has the floor of gold. It has the little pieces of silver, the little nuptial beads and so on the side. It's overlaid in the purple. Hallelujah. That's your provision of grace for us, Lord. But all those beautiful adornments do not stop the battle that rages in the mind. But Father, things such as we heard last week and Wednesday night and tonight are helping us, Lord. We know it will not eliminate the battle, but it will strengthen us, Father, and make us better soldiers, Lord. We love you tonight, Father. We accept the word of God into our minds. We accept it into our conscience. We accept it into our imagination. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord. We bless your holy name, Heavenly Father. Oh, can we just worship him a little bit now, children? Can we just raise our hands now? Whatever you have need of, just confess it right now. By God's grace, I'm healed. By God's grace, I'm delivered of this besetting sin. You don't have to say it out loud if you don't want anybody standing near you to hear it. You just say it from your heart there. The Lord knows exactly what you have need of. Amen. May the Lord, by his grace, come right through tonight and minister to each of us. Lord Jesus, don't forget me, Lord. Be mindful of me. Heavenly Father, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your courage, Lord God, for the task that lays before us. Oh, Jesus, we worship you tonight. We exalt you, Lord. We bless your mighty name, oh, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, can we worship him, little Shulamite? Praise be to God. You're on your way to meet the King. You're on your way to be joined in a bodily presence to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's giving you everything you need to meet him at that day. You will stand there unashamed. You will stand there with not a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish or any such thing. His word has provided such a cleansing agent. Amen. Not only that, it will condition our minds, our spirits, our souls, that we will be ready to stand in his great presence. Can you imagine? You wake up here one morning in this hell, and by the Spirit of God moving upon you by 10 o'clock, as we'd say, you're living in another dimension. You're living in another body, in another world. Hallelujah! Our Kentucky English or South Carolina or Georgia or whatever more, that'll all be gone. We'll be talking bride talk. We'll be living in glorified bodies. Oh my. In a matter of moments, we will leave this world. Oh, glory to God, and go into that great place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. His word has made a way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing together. Hey, something, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Oh, let's just worship him tonight, saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need your conscience cleared out, you need your memory, your affection, let the Spirit of God take it out tonight. If you have to, use the Peter Cartwright technique. Climb right on top of it and beat the tar out of it till it leaves. If you can speak to it and it leaves you, so be it. If you can't, drag out your sword and your spear and your shield. Do whatever you got to do. Let that thing be blowed out. My memories of my failings, I refuse to acknowledge them. Amen. I refuse to recall all the times I've tried it before and failed. I've tried it before and failed. I refuse to go back to that. I'm going to the Word tonight. And no matter how many times I fail, that has nothing to do with it. I fail, but God never has and never will. He cannot fail. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, dear God. Heavenly Father, you see the request on my sister's heart tonight, Lord. You see this situation, Lord, that she's bringing before you, God. I bring her into your presence now, Lord Jesus. I pray this thing will leave her now, Father. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hand off of my sister. Hallelujah! He's your Savior, he's your healer, he's your deliverer.
I think we need to worship him a little bit. Oh, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. Oh, he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God. He said, oh, he set me free. Yes, he said.
I remember the Lord increased my courage. I remember. Get on top of your memory. Shut your mouth, memory. I'm going to make it this time. Shut up.
Oh, yeah, just imagine you're going to know I'm not set up. Glory. Go ahead, Peter Cartwright, whoop him.
Amen.
Whoop your memory, whoop your conscience until you can stand there and say it's the truth. Glory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. The prophet said, Satan can whip you around a stump on your feelings, but he can't when it's thus saith the Lord. How many ever had a stump whooping by the devil? I mean, just whoop you around the stump. But when you're saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. You ain't heard this message in a while. Greatest battle ever fought. Listen to it. You'll find the prophet intercessor when it comes against you. You just stand there. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And he likened you to a little baby bird inside of an egg. And he said, what if a voice on the outside of that little egg said, you better not peep your way out. This is a dangerous world. You better not come out. You'll hurt yourself. But he said, there's something in the nature of that little chicken. Or he said, I'll call you an eagle, he said. There's something in that little thing, and it pecks and pecks and pecks and pecks until it breaks its way out of that old egg. I'll tell you what you need to break your way out of that, it's that sickness tonight. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. You need to break yourself out of that old bondage, that old grieving spirit, that old moody spirit that some of you's under. That old weighted down spirit, that old frown and defeated thing. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Brother Donnie, you're scaring me. The older you get, the wilder you get. Some of y'all scaring me. The older you get, the drier you're getting. Come on, children. Get rid of them frowns. Get rid of that old Baptist hand clap. Get rid of that old message cold formality. Let's worship the living God. Our God is alive. Our God ain't dead. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've often wondered why when I come to the message so many, many years ago. Boy, if I could have seen then what I see now. Good gracious. But it's probably a good thing. I've been one of the first astronauts to leave the message. But now I'm seeing all this stuff and I'm an old man now. I can't. The Lord said, hold on, Donnie. It ain't going to be long. You're going to be young again. Woo! Don't you love him, saints? Oh, glory to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Yes, my lady. Stop the palanquin. I'm about to have a spell. Oh, you folks think that's just me saying that, do you? Ain't y'all ever looked up anything where Brother Brim talked about him having fits? And spells, as he calls them. And fits. Huh? The prophet had fits. Oh, yeah. Going around and around and around. Oh, you said that was out, though. He never done it in public. Oh, you forgot to look up this quote. When the black folks come down to his church to sing, there's going to be a meeting in the air. And they got up a singing, and one of them wound up out on the floor dancing. He thought, oh, such church manners. Oh, my. This is going to get me thrown out of my Baptist church. He said, the problem was I needed a little more victory. Amen. He said, the next thing he knew, he found himself down there dancing on the floor with that girl. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And then another time he said he found himself sitting up on the pulpit with his legs swinging off the pulpit back and forth like that. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry some of you Baptist message folks didn't know that's part of the message. That is part of the message. Amen. Lord have mercy. Come on now, children. Amen. Get rid of that old cold thing from around you. Get that frown off your face. Put a little dance in them feet. Glory to God. Let's be who we are, the people of God. You've got more to be happy about than anybody in this world. I read it today where Brother Branham said the little robins was talking to each other one day. And one little robin looked over at the next little robin and said, isn't it sad? Those poor humans. Those poor humans. Look how sad they are. The Lord gives us our food and the Lord provides for us. It's so sad that they don't realize how much He loves them. Wonder how many times your bluebirds and your yards and your robins and your cardinals have looked at you and your face is about that long and they've looked at you and felt so sorry for you. And here they are, a dumb bird. You ever seen a robin going to Walmart? I mean, you may have seen them flying there, but they wasn't grocery shopping. You ever seen any robin-sized grocery carts? They don't grocery shop. They don't have Amazon. Who provides? Their father. In the winter, in the summer, oh, glory to God. What about us? What about us as the queen of His heart? Oh, hallelujah. Saturate my soul, Lord. Let the north wind blow. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what I want God to blow over me. To me, it's a greater miracle than if He would have changed my spirit and changed my body when I was born again. Instead, He made me a new creation in the same old temple. So I've got the Reagan Shoat cross makeup. And then I've got all the scars that I went through as a boy. All the hurts and all the pains. And things that I've had through years of my life. That's my makeup. I've got all that I deal with every day. I've got the load of all these people. Plus people all over the world. How do I make it? How do you make it? God's mercy. And yet I live in this kind of tabernacle of humiliation. But I live an overcoming life. And I want to live more of an overcoming life. Oh, I don't drink. I don't smoke. None of that. But I want this that I've preached tonight captivating me. Don't you? And let the Holy Spirit blow. We'll get up to it, Lord willing, if we ever arrive there. In verse 6 or chapter 4, as it goes on up in verse 1 and on up into 16 of the Song of Solomon, it's the wedding night. They're about Himself. He's talking to her, adoring her, loving her, looking at her eyes and all of that. Then she, in verse 16, says, let the north wind come. Let him blow. He has finally talked her in to seeing her place. Took him all them verses, all them chapters. Finally, she's saying what he's saying. And she can call on the north wind. Blow. Come this way. Don't come toward him and blow his fragrance toward me. But come toward me and blow my fragrance toward him. Blow my virtues. Blow my attributes. Into his nose, so the aroma. Oh.
Don't you see, friend, it's not you that he's smelling. It's not you he's seeing. It's his work in you. This is what he rejoices over. His work. Can we sing it together? If you're not there tonight, well, you can say that to the Lord. Ask God to forgive you. Clean out whatever needs to be made right. So you can beckon for the north wind. Come, north wind. And come, thou south. Notice what a strange peculiarity. The north wind blowing from one direction, the south coming, and she's in the middle of the whirlwind. Blow my fragrance toward him. Then she says, come, my beloved, into your garden. Come, my beloved. Let's sing it together. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Lord Jesus.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow.
Lord God, great Adonai.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Lord Jesus, we worship you.
Saturate my soul.
Sing it to him, children.
Let the river flow.
Hallelujah.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
My beloved spoke.
Saturate my soul.
Oh, speak, Lord God.
Let the river flow.
Speak to our hearts tonight, blessed Father.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Awake, north wind.
Awake, north wind.
Come, O south. Blow upon my garden. That the spices may flow out. Saturate my soul.
Sing it, children.
Let the river flow.
Let it flow.
Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Saturate my soul.
Oh, sing it to him, children.
Let the river flow. North wind, lover of my soul.
Everybody together, let saturate my soul.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul.
Again, oh, saturate my soul. Amen. He said unto me,
rise up, my fair one, come away with me.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul.
Once again, before we go.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Saturate my soul.
Yes, Lord God.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul.
Awake, O north wind. Come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Chapter 5, verse 1, his response. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, oh friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved. Oh my, this is what I want him to say after every service. We invited him and he came. We worshiped and he received. He talked and we were blessed. But it wasn't just all one-sided. He gave to us, we gave back to him. Praise God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word. Lord Jesus, may we contemplate these things. May we think about them. Lord Jesus, may we ruminate as sheep do and think upon those things that are lovely, good, faithful. Oh, Heavenly Father, to replace all the bad stuff that's around us. We're bombarded every day with news flashes of this bad news and that bad news and politics over this and this one over that. Lord Jesus, help us. Oh, I thank you, Lord. The good news is Jesus is coming. The good news is we are going. The good news is we are saved. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're happy going that way. There's still a lot of good news in the land, Lord. May you go with us now, Father, I pray. Bring us back in the morning if it be pleasing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, praise God. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Thank the Lord. Are you brothers, Brother Luke Gibson's sons? You are. You're just a friend of it. Brother Luke had texted me a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, and said, did you see my son in church? And I said, no, sir. He said, he sat right in front of you. I said, well, tell him I'm sorry. Nice to have you all with us tonight. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's sing as we go. Service in the morning at 11. Take my word for it. He's got something wonderful for us in the world. I said today, I cried. I squalled. When Carol went out for a little bit of lunch, she said, oh, that service last weekend was so good. I said, take my word for it. There's more coming this weekend. She said, I can't wait. I said, believe me, it's going to be good. I started crying in the car coming home from dinner. I don't know what this means to you. I don't know what it means to you. But to me, this means everything to me. This means everything to me. God bless you. Let's sing it as we go. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Cover up my soul. Every winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth again. The time of singing is come. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind.